Hello, folks. Just a little pre-roll before the show starts. We had originally planned for this to be Duren's and Mitch's impressions from E3, and then following the break, a more traditional show. But given that they talked about it, and we all talked about it for about 2 hours, we're just making this its own thing. We ended up recording a traditional show after the break and are putting that up later this week. So here is Duren's and Mitch's impressions from E3. Because why not have 2 more hours of this E3 talk? Enjoy! Cynic.
Hello. They took the mic away from me.
No.
I can't be the host.
You lost your host privileges for like at least a couple weeks. Duren is joining us.
I literally opened that first podcast or that last podcast, looked at the timestamp, and immediately opened up Steam on my phone and asked Cynic, "What the fuck?"
Fair.
Sounds about right.
And that last person chiming in is Mitch, running
Hello,
at the table.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm back.
Welcome back. This Thank is going to be for the week of the 27th of June, almost to July. Year's halfway done.
That's nuts. That's just crazy to me.
2015 is like we're on the downhill on it. It's crazy.
It's been a hell of a year so far, and it's only – well, actually probably downhill from here. You're right. It's all downhill from here.
It's not, because like now the stuff that like gaming wise is all coming out.
Is it?
Like, I mean, it's not coming out. I mean, it's coming out broken as shit, but it's coming out.
Everything I care about is coming out 2016. Goddamn.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, well, we got some decent stuff coming.
I mean, there's the one thing I really care about that's coming out that they just say summer 2015, and that's Galaxy.
Oh man. That's true. And then the Fallout thing apparently is also.
Is Firewatch even 2015 or is that 2016?
They say, well, it's the thing of game developers. We'd like to see it come out in 2015.
Oh, it's the indie, like, is done when it's done thing. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of what it is for Below as well, which is another game that's on my radar. That's just like, yeah, that's where they are not saying a date at all, just when it's finished.
Below is like. All right, it's not like Dark Souls in that it's a single path through. Like a single world for that game. It's random every time you go to the dungeon, isn't it? Or
yes, is it?
Yes. So it's not like so. There's not so whether I'm interested or not in Below depends on how contiguous the world is. If it's just like if it's like Diablo or Dark Souls where it's an actual world that you go through, that'd be sick. But it was like an indie game where. Now, a modern indie game where it's just kind of random every time. I'm just interested.
I mean, like, we'll have to see how that plays out. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of games that have happened so far and a lot of games still to look forward to. So I guess, first things first, E3 just happened. As Duren clearly said, we had a
fucking 6 hours.
A quarter of a day's worth of podcast audio.
I regret nothing.
But that's just it. We still have one more person who wants to chime in.
When I was asked to be on that podcast and I was not able to make it, I regret nothing either.
Well, Duren, you have your chance now. Tell us what, like, however briefly, please.
All right, strap in, boys. We got about 4 hours here to kill. First thing, no. are we gonna talk about what we played first, or are we just jumping into E3?
Let's just bury E3, and then move on. And I don't want to spend too much on it because obviously murders have been committed already. On that count, people have taken their own lives after that podcast. I regret it, but I don't. Duren, Mitch, if he's still here, I'm not sure how much gaming Mitch has been doing in terms of what he's doing right now, and he's in the Dota/LOL world. But Duren, yep. I know you're actually looking at the screen, so you're here. What were your thoughts about E3?
Honestly, probably one of the best E3s we've had in quite a while.
Maybe ever. Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, maybe ever.
We'll see on what's actually delivered from the
E3. A lot of if everything that was promised at this E3
actually comes out, then yes, probably the best E3 ever. Yeah. But man, there was a lot promised. So I guess, okay, we'll start. I'll briefly head it through all of them, and it definitely will be brief, I promise. So, okay, anyone remember the exact order? I remember Bethesda started off. Mm-hmm. So quickly with Bethesda, I've just now been getting back into Fallout 3 since I've never been able to actually play through it since, because of bugs and crashes and everything. So I'm actually pretty interested in Fallout 4. I'm really interested in Fallout 4, but like I'm definitely not noob interested. To me, I'm way more interested in the Elder Scrolls side of things for Bethesda. Right. So like I'm really interested in Fallout 4, but I also can't wait for it to come out so they can start working on whatever the next Elder Scrolls game might be.
Agreed. I've forgotten how Bethesda stories work. Like, I just finished playing The Witcher, which I'll talk about later, but that's made me kind of like question whether I really like the way Bethesda does open world compared to the way CD Projekt does it. Like, what does a Fallout give you? Like, I've never played Fallout, and it doesn't interest me really, but.
Honestly, I don't remember because a lot of it isn't spent doing like the main story. I just
The side stories, right? What do you do in Fallout?
I don't want to say it's like a Skyrim, but maybe like a Witcher, except it's not in a medieval fantasy world. It is a world that seems lived in, despite the fact that there has been an apocalypse that has happened. Like you go and there's the towns, all of the stories. It's an RPG, like. Pretty blatantly, it's an RPG post-apocalypse, post 1950s apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that the way I play Fallout is I load the game up, I pick a direction, and I just walk. Like I definitely still follow the path the story is taking me.
Yeah,
but I couldn't tell you which of the quests I'm doing are story quests and which ones are just side ones because I guess I tend to play those games more like an MMO because I've played so many of those where I'll hit this town. This is now my quest hub. So I'll go around and gather up all the quests from there, go out and do those quests, come back, turn them in, and then move on.
Are the quests well written? Or why do you do them? What's the impetus?
I would say it's for the writing because the actual acts that you're doing for the quests, unless they are dialogue driven, are not particularly great because a lot of it's, combat stuff and combat in those games are just bad anyway.
Yeah.
So it's more so just for whether it's the main story or even just some character's personal story, it's to kind of further that story and see that through to the end. Mm-hmm. And to find just, new places, find, interesting things. Like there was what I did in a technology museum, and that was really interesting. Like there was a section in there where it's this pre-war museum mm-hmm. where you're walking through and it's basically advertising the vaults, and it has the guy explaining all the different aspects of it, how they're all great and everything, and of course this is all run down and shit looking now. And how bad the vaults actually are and all this. So it's finding things like that is really interesting to me for those games, whereas I think it's different per game because with the Elder Scrolls games it's less to me about the exploration, the finding stuff, especially because with the Elder Scrolls games, I feel like they've not done as good a job of creating the world and making it interesting. But they tend to do a good job of making the actual the stories themselves interesting. You look like Oblivion and Skyrim, both Skyrim's a great looking game, but it all kind of looks the same, and there's 12 dungeons that all look the same and 17 caves that all look the same. So
I forgot there were dungeons in that game.
Yeah.
It's been a while since Skyrim. I need to point that out here. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely their own breed of RPG. Both Fallout and Skyrim. Elder Scrolls. Anyway, moving on past that one.
Did you like Doom? Are you a Doom man? I need to know that.
I'm not a Doom fanatic. So that Doom looked all right.
All right.
I don't need it to be 90 miles an hour to be Doom.
I do, God damn it.
Like, okay. Here's the thing. I don't need it to be 90 miles an hour, but I didn't see switching between a fucking gun and a flashlight, so I'm in.
I mean, like, what you're saying is the Doom did not bring gloom to you.
See, the thing is, people at home, podcasts. They don't realize that Thurlton looked like he had something to say for like a good 30 seconds.
He was holding on to that one.
It's like, boom, got it. Just gotta wait.
So, like the multiplayer is just kind of whatever for me. Right. Like, I don't need multiplayer in Doom. I feel like they're throwing it in there because they feel like they have to, but like, that's not Doom. It's never been Doom. Even with the old ass Doom having some kind of multiplayer at some point.
Right.
But no, like, that game looks interesting. I do hope that the melee stuff is not forced. I think you guys were talking about that. Like, you were talking about how it seems like it's encouraging that for health regen. I really hope that that's not the case because they only have so many animations. And also, I just don't like having to kill everybody with melee. Like,
yeah.
I'd like to change it up a little bit. But other than that, yeah, the game looked interesting. Visually, it looked solid. 60 frames, I guess, is what they're going to be shooting for on console. So
who's not going to play on PC?
Exactly.
What are you doing with your face?
Especially because console, they'll get 60 frames, probably 720p.
Yeah, whatever.
But
900p or whatever the fuck. Yeah, some shit.
Moving on from that, I don't give a shit about Battlecry. Dishonored 2 looks interesting, but I played all of like an hour of Dishonored 1 and like never went back to it again. Fallout Shelter, I played a little bit of. I actually had forgotten until I was listening to the podcast that I had downloaded it. So I played a little bit of it and then like rubbed it in Noob's nose that I had it, and it like I was like, oh yeah, I totally even forgot I had it. That's fun, I guess.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. I guess it's coming out on Android eventually, and I'll prefer that because I'm playing on my 6 Plus.
Right.
But I'd much rather play it on a tablet.
So oh, okay.
I'll start over when that one comes out.
Oh, you're doing things the wrong way around with an Android tablet and an iPhone.
Maybe, but it was cheaper this way.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair.
Elder Scrolls Online. Who was excited about that one?
No one is raising their hands.
Yeah?
Again,
yeah.
People at home.
As far as MMOs go, it's nice to see, like, yes, there's not any MMOs that are being developed right now, but there's a lot of MMOs that are actively having expansions. So for the people who do enjoy playing MMOs, it's nice to see that, like, there's something new happening on the scene.
Well, I was going to say, as somebody who goes out and buys every fucking MMO that gets released, I'm happy, actually, that it went free-to-play, because Elder Scrolls Online is not inherently a bad game. It is a terrible subscription-based game. That game is not designed to be subscription-based. It encourages, like, it being subscription-based encourages a playstyle that is like the opposite of how you would approach an Elder Scrolls game. Like, what I would do is I literally, because, like, just with that mindset of, you know, the monthly fee and feeling like I need to get my money's worth out of it, I would, like, run through places and, like, every bookshelf, like, you want to check the bookshelves because there's some books that will teach you, like plus one to your skill of some kind. So I would go through the bookshelf and I would just mash the keys as fast as I can, like, not reading a single thing, just trying to get through all the books to you know, see if I can get those skill ups or whatever. So I had no idea what was going on in, like, kind of the backstory stuff. Like, sure, you're following the main story, but you kind of want to end up skipping a lot of the other story stuff just to kind of move on and get your leveling on. So with them changing it to be free to play or buy to play now, I already own it, so I don't have to buy it now. So now I can actually play through at my own leisure, take my time and see the story through. And the story is, I mean, it's pretty interesting. It's not worse than, the Old Republic. So there's that.
Hmm.
But anyway, I'm not going to play it on consoles because fuck that.
Yeah. So that's just to move, before we move on from Bethesda, Mitch, do you have anything to add to Bethesda?
I mean, Fallout looks interesting. I have always kind of thought about playing the Fallout games, but never really committed. Just because the whole dystopian future thing looks cool, but I've just never felt like committing hours of my time to...
Did you ever play Skyrim?
I did. I played a lot of Skyrim, but played it on console, so that was a thing. But but it was good. I mean, I really...
Ancient man.
Yeah, it was... That's an adventure, to say the least. But, I really enjoyed it, and so I'm looking forward to... I'll probably play Fallout 4 without really going back and playing the other ones, because I'm not sure that it'll really even matter. But, I mean, it looks like it'll be a fun open world game where you get to shoot things and have them explode. So,
I think the change in how they're handling dialogue is going to make a big difference on my enjoyment of the game. While I do enjoy dialogue in, you know, Fallout 3 and all that, like, being able to actually pull out, like, actually see your character interacting with people and stuff is going to be, I think, a big change, but a nice change.
Yeah, instead of that just patented snap zoom onto whoever starts talking to you, and it's just like, oh, hello there. With the Tom Clancy games, like the Division, was that Bethesda? I don't remember.
No, that
was Ubisoft. Okay, yeah. That comes later. Yeah. So, I mean, Fallout looks cool, but other than that, I mean, I didn't really pay very much attention to what Bethesda had to say after that.
Cool. All right, Durin.
All right. Microsoft, I'm personally going to jump through pretty quickly because I don't have an Xbox One, so most of this doesn't matter to me. But
did you get sold on an Xbox One?
What's that?
Did that happen? Did you get sold on an Xbox One this year?
If it so happens that I happen to have the money to get one at some point, I'll probably try to grab one because there are some things I'd like to play. But at the same time, I have a PC, so as it is, like, I bought the PS4 last year, you know, when it came out, and like I own like maybe 4 or 5 games for it, and I don't play any of them.
Mm.
Like, I never touch my TV hardly at all. Like, I still play everything on PC.
Right.
So. Like, I've gotten a few games now, but at one point I was starting to wonder, I'm like, why did I even buy this fucking thing? Like, everything that comes out, like, I'm buying on PC anyway.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I went and bought the Type-0 HD thing and got the Final Fantasy 15 demo and a couple other things, Last of Us Remastered, that kind of stuff. So I have stuff to play on there, but like I said, even then, I'm still not playing. I basically log on to the thing once a month to download my PS Plus games and then...
Yeah,
I'm in a similar boat with that, where the reason why I got the PS4 is because I didn't want to miss out on the things I missed out on the PS3 era of the Journeys, the Last of Us, which thankfully both those are apparently going to, like, Last of Us already on PS4, but Journey is apparently coming as well.
Thurbs, you need to play Last of Us, man.
I know I do.
You need to play that damn game. You have summer's, no excuse.
Summer's not over yet. I can still play it sometimes.
I own two copies of it.
What is wrong with you people?
And I still haven't
played
it.
Oh my god.
I own PS3 and the PS4 copy.
I don't even understand. It's like, just one of the best games ever made is right here. I'm not going to play it. Whatever. I'm just going to play Hearthstone. Or like fucking Final Fantasy 14. Fuck you guys. Fuck both of you guys.
Whoa.
I like that you named both two games that I haven't played.
Well, I'm looking at Dory because he's
the one on my screen. But what are you going to say? I'm playing Half-Life all the time?
Payday 2!
God damn you for playing Payday 2 so much.
That is Mitch's fault, and we'll get to that later in the show.
Whoa.
Anything about Xbox? I need you guys to work together here because I don't want to spend too much more time.
That's fine. As far as Xbox goes, I don't really care anymore. I mean, their big flagship is Halo, and Halo ended at Halo 3, so
yeah, I bought 4 and I played maybe an hour of it. And then
I played an hour of Halo 4 and was like, well, this is stupid. Yep. And so,
whoa.
Well, this is Halo, but not my Halo guys. Yeah, I finished the fight already. So
yeah, that was the whole point.
I don't know if I like the new Spartan dude. Would you want?
I don't, because he's not.
He's not Chief.
He's not John Halo.
Before, when you played John Astro Halo.
I play Halo to play John Halo.
Exactly. Before it was the Arbiter, so it's a whole different species. You have different allies and shit. This time he's just another fucking human. Why the hell would you care about that guy?
We had that game. It was ODST. It was not good. I'll just quickly go the one cool one of the probably the best things that came out of Microsoft's conference was the backwards compatibility. That's legitimately cool. That's one of the things that actually, is a value add to me for getting a 360 because I do, or an Xbox One, because I do have quite a few 360 games. I have a few Live Arcade games that I wouldn't mind carrying over. So, that's actually really neat that they're actually, taking the effort to do that. And it was crazy to me, they announced that, and then, somebody interviewed Sony, and Sony's like, nah, we're good.
Yeah, they're going to keep working on the PlayStation Now thing until it works. People keep making fun of it because it's currently shit.
It's not a matter of it working. That's great if they get it working, but fucking, I already bought those games.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
the price. Let me have access. What they need to do is they need to get PlayStation Now working, and then have like some kind of a like a UPC scan code or some kind of system to allow you to put your games in there. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, moving on past that. Yeah, like Mitch said, Halo's kind of whatever. It's more Halo. Forza looks like more Forza.
Did Gears of War impress you?
Gears of War 4 again. Like for me, at least personally, like Gears of War ended at 3, even though I didn't even play all the way through it, so I don't care about that. I don't care about a fucking remaster of Gears 1. But Rare Replay is one of the things that probably is the biggest thing that sold me on getting an Xbox One.
Yeah,
because that's a lot of fucking game for $30.
It's a lot of games.
If you think about it, if you don't have an Xbox One and you go buy an Xbox One and then buy Rare Replay when it comes out. You got four Halo games and 30 Rare games.
Yeah.
Wait, for the cost of a, well, because like all Xbox, all Xbox Ones come with Master Chief Collection now.
Oh shit!
Like, all of them do. Like that's the only bundles I ever see are Master Chief now. It's all for the 350.
Does it work?
It works now. Apparently, yeah.
They I might buy an Xbox One like in 2 weeks. Oh no!
But yeah, Rare Replay looks interesting. ReCore looks kind of interesting. Rise of the Tomb Raider looks interesting, but pisses me off at the same time because fuck them. They can at least release the goddamn thing on PC.
Yeah,
they're just being fucking greedy by not doing that because they know that it would cannibalize their Xbox One sales.
Oh no! Like, okay, all right, guys, I need you to stop me from buying an Xbox One because I'm getting like $1,000 like bonus in a couple weeks. And oh god.
Sea of Thieves looks really good.
Yeah,
I'm with Thurb on that. One looks real fucking good.
It looks good, but at the same time, like...
It's also like a concept. Like, we haven't seen actual...
Yeah, you've seen a lot of jump cuts. Granted, it's an E3 trailer. You can tell they, like, stitch together. Like, what we saw is probably not what the game is right now. It's just what they hope it will be. But, yeah, I really want to know what they hope it's going to be.
Yeah. Cynic, what I would say to like, stop you from buying an Xbox One right now... is there anything right now that you need to
I kind of really want to play the Master Chief Collection. Now it's got ODST in
like,
there.
Are you gonna buy a console for like that?
I'm literally on the Microsoft Xbox One page now, and I'm scrolling through it, and I see
they have a console for all the Halo games. It's called the Xbox 360.
The thing is, I traded in my 360.
Oh, okay.
A while ago, because I realized that hey, I'd only played like 4 games on it during its entire life cycle. And
no, I mean there's plenty to actually. There's actually probably more to play right now on the Xbox One than there is on the PS4.
Oh, I don't know. What the fuck would I play on the Xbox? Master Chief, like 4, 5, Halo 5 is this year, and I'll probably play that. But aside from that, this year, like, it's just the Rare Collection.
I mean,
and I really.
As far as indies, what is the
super hot
would be good. What is the team that made Limbo? They're making I think that's an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, it's not the Tomorrow Children. It's fucking similar.
It's like it's one word.
Yeah,
but I forgot what.
Whatever the name of it is. If they don't release that on PC as well, like that's definitely something to look forward to because it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'll think about it. This is gonna join the big TV on my list of things I'll think about getting.
Wait, you haven't got the TV yet?
Here's the thing that might stop you, Cynic. If you buy the Xbox One, like I'm gonna tell you this, and you're gonna have to hold to this, so to try to keep you from buying it. If you decide to just go out and just buy the Xbox One. Yeah, buy an Elite controller too.
Oh, I'm gonna do that for my PC though.
There's no saving you. There's no saving you.
That's gonna happen. Like the thing. All right, here's the thing. Right,
it's $150 US. Like Mike Squiddle with his Apple Watch. You are a lost cause.
See, the thing is, like, I can get like a used Xbox One for like fucking cheap, right? The Elite controller is $150 over there. If it's like $250 here, fuck them and fuck their bullshit. Like, I'm not hacking any of that. Fuck you. And I foresee it being ridiculously expensive. As for the big TV, I'm waiting for OLED TVs. This year's OLED TVs to come out to have a look at those.
So I just realized something that would put the Apple Watch to shame.
$199. It's $200.
It's
still on the shopping list. I'm talking about the Elite controller.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up. It's still on the list. $200. I'll pay that. For a sick new fucking semi stainless steel controller, that's sick.
But this is just like, imagine if HoloLens had some app where you basically had all the utility of your phone, but like in some wrist control that was right out of Mass Effect.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Ooh.
But then I'd have to buy a HoloLens.
Yeah, well, okay. And
I don't know if that's worth.
So today was a weird day for the internet. I'm sorry to go on a quick tangent, but this is related. They're apparently getting HoloLens on the space station.
Yeah, I saw something about that. Yeah, I don't.
What? Next week they're getting they're gonna have a HoloLens up there.
Sure. Weird.
Sounds about right.
Doing
that's
science
sick, though. Yeah. That's awesome. That's the most science shit ever.
Actually, that makes me. They need to get a fucking Rift up there. Could you imagine a Rift in fucking zero G?
That'd probably be really bad because they have floating.
Yeah, it would.
They have a Rift, but they're playing a Drift in zero G. So it's
perfect.
But the question is, would all the motion control break? Because it uses like gravitational sensors and shit as well. Like, it's,
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is what we have to do for science.
This is why they're sending a thing up there. Yeah.
I would like to think the developers would make a special build for astronauts.
All right, moving on.
E3. Let's
move
go.
On to EA.
Let's not do 6 hours.
All right, so EA, Plants vs. Zombies for 45 minutes. Wow.
See, you called it, and fuck you, because I didn't want that. Especially after Yarny. Oh my god. This is the worst timing for Plants vs. Zombies ever, which is directly after that developer came out and like poured his heart out for Unraveled and Yarny. And then the first thing after that was like Highway to the Danger Zone, some dumbass zombie dancing. That pissed me the fuck off.
Wait, what did I call?
You called Plants vs. Zombies 2 being there.
Okay. Yeah. Mass Effect Andromeda, like, cool. I'll care more when I actually see a game.
Yeah, fuck you. 60 seconds a second bullshit.
Need for Speed actually looks really interesting to me. I'm a little worried because I know Jeff said that, like, it didn't play particularly great.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's me kind of worried. But also, like, he has trashed the crew, and I think that game, like, other than some weird, like, cutscene glitches, like, it plays totally fine. Like, I actually really enjoy playing the crew.
I love the drop during that demo, like the stupid live action shit, and then the music. That was all perfect. I really liked it. That was one of my favorite games of the show.
Yeah, that was pretty well done. Mirror's Edge, like I've said before, I'm not a fan of Mirror's Edge.
Has it sold you a Mirror's Edge thingo? Two? I was going to call it two, but
Catalyst.
No, it has not. Really? I'll probably still play it.
I wonder how open world is going to make it, man. Because like. Half the shit of that is like going through buildings.
That's the thing. Like, that's gonna make it worse. It's gonna make it fucking worse because, like, as it is, I feel like the game needs to direct me on where I need to go anyway to do the for the parkour to feel like right and feel fluid. It needs to tell me where I need to be going.
Right.
And so then, like, to make it open world, like that's just that, no. That's I'm.
You know,
that game already was a shit show as it was control wise. Like to then. Give me a giant open space. I'm like, all right, your objective is somewhere over there. Go find it.
How about this, if they end up doing it this way? Most of the world games, you end up having to set a waypoint, and like you're just on the road. You either stare on your mini-map, or they have little arrows at every turn you need to make. What if, by default, nothing is like in red and highlighted with the runner vision, but when you set a waypoint somewhere, then a route is marked for you on where to go?
Oh, that'd be cool. I'll take that. And like, does the full runner vision like?
As long as runner vision turns back on, because I cannot play that game without runner vision.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know.
That could work.
But my main thing is like half the cool thing in that game. Again, as a person who hasn't played it, just watched it, is outside to inside to outside to inside to outside, like the crazy like going through buildings and shit, up through like shafts and shit. I don't know how like. Much inside they could do in an open world, because that's hard. Like that's open worlds are fucking hard to make, let alone when you start rendering insides of whole buildings.
And only some buildings would have insides. I don't know.
But no, it could be interesting if it's done well. I think like control wise, it was like that was one of the biggest problems I had with the first one. And honestly, like one of the biggest things that would fix that would be like just make a fucking button that the whole point of that button is when I press it. And I'm like on a wall, it automatically turns me around and jumps to the next wall.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just have that do it.
Because, like, even with a mouse, like having to, like, jump on a wall, flip your view around, jump on a wall, flip your view around, jump on, like, it doesn't work. And it's just, it feels clumsy. It's nigh impossible with a fucking controller, which is how I first experienced that game. So if they could just make some tweaks to the controls, make it feel more fluid, then that game maybe could be something. But I'm not that interested in it.
The only question I had for you, Duren, was the fact that they totally took out guns. How do you feel about that?
That's how I played the first one. So
yeah, but the thing is, the first one was weird.
They didn't take out guns. They took out guns for you.
Yeah, for you.
Your enemies will still have guns. So
I feel like
given when I finally played through that game, it was when Shinboy was doing it for Extra Life. I saw he was doing it, so I decided to play through. I played straight through from beginning to end, with no guns.
Yeah. That just made you mad, didn't it? You sound like you didn't enjoy it.
Not any more than the game would have already.
Oh, okay. All right.
It wasn't because of lack of guns that I was irritated with it. It was controlling the character. Them taking the guns away, that's cool, I guess. I played it that way already anyway, so to me, that's what Mass Effect 1 was. Or Mass Effect. Mirror's Edge 1 was. Yes, Mass Effect 1.
Mass Effect, no guns.
Full playthrough.
I don't think the guns were the issue. I think it was the level design, and there were certain points that required guns, and that's what pissed people off. I think that's what made people mad and made them think they wanted no guns.
Right.
I think if guns were always an option, but you could always, if you were always able to get past a situation without guns.
But that's what I'm saying is you were. I played through the entire game with no guns. Yeah,
he beat it with
it. I didn't fire a single bullet.
I think it's more of a balance thing. The fact that your levels were balanced with the intention of you having to use guns.
Yeah, they were balanced. Yeah.
I think a lot of it was there was that, and there was a lot of there were a lot of jumps that were pinpoint precision.
I never liked that.
Not a big fan of that at all. And then it kind of had the Assassin's Creed problem of sometimes you would be trying to do something and the game would think you're trying to do something else and whoops, now you're falling off the world.
The thing with pinpoint precision jumps is it always leaves you questioning whether you could make that jump.
Especially when you're doing first person.
Yeah.
Pinpoint precision jumps should never be done in first person because you can't see the fucking ground.
Yeah, the only time they work is with platformers because it's side view and you can actually judge and you're used to it.
Anyway, moving on past that because that game we already spent more time
than too long.
5 minutes until Star Wars Battlefront.
Not even that. Battlefront's the next one I'm going to talk about because that was probably the biggest thing out of all of EA's thing that I am totally into. That game looks fucking gorgeous. Holy shit.
Stunning looking game. That was running on PS4.
Oh my God. One of the things I loved about it was not only did that game look really good, but there was a part in there where they were in a little canyon area, and the main character was shooting some stormtroopers, and when their lasers hit the stormtroopers, it didn't just make a boom explosion or something. It made the fucking sparks from the old movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually went with the old
visual effects.
Practical effects.
Yeah.
They remade the practical effects in the game. It looks fucking great.
My favorite thing, and it sounds morbid, but when they died, they just the animations were good. They looked like the movies where they died.
Yeah, they died dramatically.
Yeah, it was sick. Yeah.
They
nailed the look of that game.
And I will say when they said there were no space battles, it kind of bummed me out a little bit, but whatever, I understand. I didn't think about the fact that no, there's no space battles, but you can still fly a fucking TIE fighter. You don't have to be in space to fly a TIE fighter. And so when I saw that, I was oh my God. And I'm not even a big Star Wars fan, but that looks so much fun.
Yeah. The weird thing that has come to light about that game is the balance and just the way it plays is apparently kind of iffy. Yes, you can fly stuff, but the maps are really small. So there's invisible walls and shit, especially on Hoth. There's invisible walls, and people don't necessarily like that. But the main thing is to be able to fly a TIE fighter, you're actually waiting for a random drop, which just gives you a power up that when you pick up, it goes, then you can fly.
Okay, so it's not like Battlefield where it's just...
No, there's not a hangar that you can jump, that you can run to and then...
Not get like three people fighter. Camping a spawn of a...
I guess that's probably okay, because otherwise you would have six fucking TIE fighters all up in the air all the time.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. But I'd be sick.
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway.
They also move really slow. It makes sense they do, but you get that many up in the air moving that slow, it's going to start kind of looking ridiculous, you're in a fishbowl or something. Anyway, moving on. I don't care about mobile games. Fuck sports. Fuck Pele. Fuck more Pele. So as somebody who has played a lot of Hearthstone, I guess I'll talk about Galaxy of Heroes.
But we don't know what it's like. Like, we don't know what the gameplay is.
No, we don't, but fuck it, because it's not Hearthstone, so I don't care. There's me talking about it. Unravel looks awesome.
Give me Gwent over Hearthstone any day, by the way.
Yeah, like, the weird part is there's already a Star Wars, like, well, there, at least there was a CCG for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't, like, on iPad sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just everybody, like, everybody gave up on the Dota dream, and now they're just chasing the Hearthstone money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, they can't make MMOs anymore. They can't make MOBAs anymore. Move on to the next big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Unravel looks really good. I that's all I can really say about it. I would like to play that game.
You want
to
hug that guy?
Mitch, anything from EA?
I mean, I really liked Battlefront. I'm really on the fence about whether or not it'll be good. I think it's lame that they took out like Galactic Conquest and a whole bunch of other things, because those were some of my favorite things to do growing up playing the game. Hmm. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I mean, I hope that it's good.
What is Galactic Conquest for someone?
So somebody who hasn't played it, you could either be like the Rebellion or the Empire, or you could be the clones or the droids, and you have that entire galaxy map, and you start with a couple of planets, and then you move your fleet from planet to planet, and you fight battles on every planet.
Single player game?
You could do single player or like local multiplayer. And you might be able to over primitive Xbox Live. But so you just like fight planet to planet, and like you get a turn, then the enemy gets a turn, and you pass it back and forth. But
That's
pretty cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I played way too much Battlefront as a kid growing up. So I hope it's good. For nostalgia's sake, but it's EA, and so it could be very bad. So, they showed an awesome rendered in-engine cutscene, but I don't know how much of that is, is it going to be that awesome and cinematic? I hope so, but I don't know.
No, I mean, they showed, actual gameplay.
That was gameplay? Then
yeah. At the end was gameplay.
Oh, okay.
There was actual gameplay, and then they showed, somebody flying in the TIE fighter and stuff, and that was all gameplay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's cool. It looks really good.
Yeah, okay, really that's good. And I mean, they had low atmosphere flying, and I think in the first game where you could fly planes in the map while there are people on the ground, which was always kind of interesting. But it always felt really claustrophobic because you had the invisible walls and you had the ground right there, so it's
super
tight.
Like the big worry with this one with the flying stuff too.
Yeah.
It's just the claustrophobic nature of it.
Yeah.
But you can fly a snow speeder and trip up an AT-AT, so that's all that matters.
They have Hoth, so I will buy it.
Yep.
AT-ATs are so dumb. fuck you, Star Wars.
What?
Most ineffectual things in the world.
Anything else from EA?
No, other than that, that was kind of my big takeaway.
All right, so we'll move on to Ubisoft and
Just
Dance 2016.
Fractured Butthole.
Fractured Butthole was seriously, legitimately the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah,
and I was so goddamn excited for it.
That was very good surprise.
Until they said that it wasn't Obsidian working on it, and now I'm worried about it.
So it's weird.
Ubisoft, same engine. Santa Monica. It's something somewhere like in California. That. Sand yeah. something. Sand. Comic Sans.
It's Comic Sans. Yeah. That one. Like I was all for it until he said that it was them working on it. Now I'm like, I feel like the reason why the first one worked was because they had a big studio working on that, and so we'll see. I'm hopeful because the first one was so great.
Yeah.
And they say they've learned how to make a game now, whatever that means. So we'll see.
A lot of developers actually say that. Like a lot of people say, at the end of making a game, you're like, oh, that's how you make games.
And
Yeah, so.
I mean, they're not developers, so who knows?
Yeah. I just wonder if they're doing the whole script again. That's my question.
Yes. Those guys are very, very – that's one of the reasons why they stopped making South Park games for so long, because they weren't as hands-on with the older stuff, and what came out was just fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
So that's why, with the Stick of Truth, they were there for every fucking step of the way to make sure that game did not turn out to be shit, and they'll do the same thing with this one. That's just how those guys are. Going down the list here, just real quickly, Siege still continues to look really good. It's cool they added a single-player mode to it. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
It's not just single-player. There's also the co-op.
Well, yeah. They added another mode other than the hostage stuff. So that's cool. It's weird. Like, tone wise, it's like completely 180 from the
stuff we've seen
up to this point. But whatever, I guess it's probably, you know, honestly, it's probably what was salvaged from Patriots. Like, we're finally seeing all the stuff they worked on with Patriots stuff. Like, this is probably.
That makes sense.
Story wise and everything, what they salvaged from that. And of course, tech wise, went into the game as a whole. Division continues to kind of look interesting, but yeah, like as soon as they talked about like being able to betray, I'm like, all right, so this is DayZ all over again.
Yeah,
but it's triple A.
Show me the actual game. Show me the single player. Show me the like world that I'm going to go through and the story missions that I'll be doing. Then I'll be interested. Until then, fuck off. I don't need to see your multiplayer.
The Division is supposed to be like all multiplayer. Like,
well, yeah, and the thing is like. You may not know, is like the PvP is only in certain areas.
Predominantly
PvE, I guess.
Yeah. It's Destiny.
No one knows what it is. Who knows? It's the new Firewatch. Yeah,
that's kind of the problem. Is like they continue to show this game off and they don't.
You don't know what it is yet. What
the game is.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess you know whenever the beta start up, you know, maybe then we'll get an idea of what the fuck the game.
But here's a scary thing, right? This is its last E3, isn't it? Like it's coming out. First quarter or so, 2016, and no one knows what the fuck that game's about.
Even worse, it's coming out in like March, I think.
Yeah,
and the beta starts in like January.
Yeah, it's like
so. Like, hopefully, we'll see it at PAX South.
Maybe
or maybe we'll probably see it at PlayStation.
PAX South last year, so who knows if they'll actually show up this year?
I bet it'll be the PlayStation experience at the end of the year.
Ghost Recon.
Cocaine, Bolivia.
That game looked fucking rad. Like, that game has style.
Everyone, there's just so many mixed opinions about this game. I don't think it has style at all, but I'm happy you do.
Like, that game, I've played a lot of the different Ghost Recons over the years.
Yeah.
This is the first one that was actually fucking interesting.
I like Graw. Really like Graw. Like, first Graw was really cool.
This to me feels like, let's take the premise of Ghost Recon and take mercenaries
And put them together
and just make them have a baby.
Yeah.
And that makes this crack child of Wildlands.
Yeah.
Like this game looks really fucking cool. It looks like it could potentially be really fucking cool.
Yeah. It could look potential.
My worry with it is that like it feels like they're getting the middle spot between the super seriousness of Need for Speed, like, and like the jokey, like, and the jokey nature of like Just Cause, and right. So it feels like they're trying to be serious, but they aren't aware of how like the fact that it's a video game. And
I think maybe a closer comparison is it feels like they're like story wise are trying to go the direction of. The seriousness again of like a Splinter Cell, but then like the gameplay of like a Mercenaries.
Yeah.
So like the two story and the gameplay are maybe at odds with each other a little bit. But like, you know, I feel like to some extent, like Mercenaries kind of was that way too, wasn't it? Like story wise, it was somewhat serious, but then the characters were just like, fuck it, blow shit up. We don't care.
Well, I mean, like, and if the characters you're playing as are like, fuck it, let's blow shit up, and sweet. But it's like, the gameplay, like, if you just ignore the story and just analyze the gameplay, I agree, it looks really cool, and the versatility of what you can do is great. Mm-hmm. But then, like, some of the stuff that, and it's probably just, like, PR hype, trying to, like, you know, do a certain brand, but it just, like, that just seemed off for me.
Right. Well, and yeah, a lot of that could be, you know, I forgot which game they were talking about, but, like, on Giant Bomb, they were talking about, there was a game that was being shown that like could be played completely stealthily, and they're showing like balls to the wall action because it just sells better at a press conference. And I think that could be what they were showing maybe here as well.
Corvo Mask.
Dishonored. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could be very well what we're looking at here. Like this very well could, you know, you could play out completely differently and not all bombastic, you know, explosions everywhere and all that, but you know, maybe this is just another way to play it. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, the seriousness of that, the story they were showing maybe isn't permeated through the entire game. Maybe that's just, you know, this thing. Like, who knows? Like, we've seen so little, really, of the game at this point.
So
gameplay-wise, really it looks rad.
Is the reason you're really sold on it the fact that it's an open world, like, objective-based first-person shooter? Like, is that first person, right?
No, because I'm not generally, like, super big on, like, I don't need everything to be open world. To me, what's interesting in it is the potential for co-op in that game could be a lot of fun. I actually just recently went back and played some Splinter Cell Blacklist with a friend on co-op, and games like that where you have to kind of strategize together and everything can be a lot of fun. So I'm kind of looking forward to playing a game like that in that regard. Mm. But it was like it's kind of that combined with, like, unlike Splinter Cell, in this game, you know, if you get caught, like, you could just fucking go in guns blazing and continue having fun. It's kind of the same reason why people play Payday. So that's mostly what the draw is for me, is just kind of that style of gameplay. The fact that it's open world, like, I could live in levels. I don't care.
I honestly think that's my selling point with it. If I was interested in it, which I'm not particularly, like of the Ubisoft games shown, I think my favorite was Sir Sword Canelot's For Honor. That's easy.
That one looks really interesting.
That's so cool.
I'm still not sure what the game is, though.
I hope it has a single player. That's
like, from what I've seen, I'm like, that looks really cool. I already own Chivalry.
Yeah, right.
I like the sword fighting this way more than Chivalry.
Oh, right. But I'm saying, like I just mean, like, is there a narrative to this thing?
Yeah, that's my question.
Is there something here, or is this just like a multiplayer, you know, melee brawler arena thing? Yeah.
Well, and also, like, the people running the demo, like, they could try and hype up the fact that it's like, hey, this is all about changing guards and all that. But once you get into the hands of players, they might be like, oh, well, if you just go Great Axe and just spam this one attack, you'll eventually be fine. And then, like,
right.
It's more like, the crazy thing to me was apparently, like, swords were the thing they showed off this time, but there's actually four weapon types.
Oh,
so chivalry.
Yeah, so it could be totally broken chivalry bullshit. Like, it just, I don't know.
It sounds like a AAA chivalry game to me, where I saw, like, it looked beautiful and it looked like it could be fun, but it looks like a AAA chivalry.
If they add bows, it's over. If they add mounts, it's over. Like, there's nothing interesting about that game.
I don't know. There's bows in chivalry too.
Exactly. That's why it's shit.
Okay.
I just really like the swordplay, and that was why I was interested. And the fact that there's other shit kind of makes me sad.
Yeah. Anno's whatever. It's Anno. I felt bad for Anno, actually, given, like, everything else they were showing off, and then
really
Anno pops up there. It's like, okay, you guys are still making those. All right. Yeah. Kind of a similar reaction to Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Like, oh, you guys are still making those. Okay, cool. All right.
Exactly. All right.
Hopefully this one won't be broken, I guess. I don't know. Mm. It looks kind of interesting, but, like, I, wrong time for it. Like, I finally got off the boat with Unity. Mm. I didn't feel like I needed to keep buying them.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even finished Black Flag. So, I'm gonna stay off for now.
Yeah.
See if maybe that turns itself around, or if they just stop.
Yeah, hopefully they just fucking stop. Just stop.
Mega Turbo looked so good.
Did it? I never.
Again, looked sharp.
I have played some Trackmania, and that did look good.
Nice.
Now, I will say, I agree with Jeff. Like, the thing that I would be worried about is the lack of player made tracks. Like, if they bring that in, like, players can make their own tracks and everything, and upload them, and I can listen to share and all that stuff. Like, I'm with Jeff. I'm fucking on board. Because I love me Trackmania, but it's got to be crazy.
I want to play that game.
It can't be the standard, like, you know, developer made track bullshit. It's got to be bullshit, nice. Like, balls to the walls. I believe in life after love.
Now, Durin, just a quick, like, just quick thing on Trackmania. Like, the reason why I like it, as opposed to all the other racing games, is that Trackmania was one that, like, no, you played that with a mouse and keyboard. You played that with a keyboard and no mouse. You just played with your left hand.
Wait, what? Are you fucking crazy?
That's what I always did.
You played that with a fucking controller.
Yeah, controller.
I guess I'm the crazy person.
Yes. You're a savage. You can't get precision controls with a keyboard.
No, you're going too fast. Just go.
Believe.
Mitch, you have anything for Ubisoft?
Let's see. I thought Division looked kind of cool. The whole, like, small squad based kind of gotta have to be tactical, like, you guys take these guys, you guys take that guys, and kind of like the countdown That looks like a lot of fun. And then also just the ability to just completely like fuck over your friends sounds like a lot of fun.
I
would ever do that.
Oh yeah, no, not that any of us would ever do that.
Trust me, just join my squad and
yeah, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'll be the guy who's like, no, we can all do this, and then they get stabbed in the back. I was the guy who gets stabbed in the back every fucking time and not expect it because I trust
this is why too much. This is why Cynic doesn't play DayZ.
Exactly. So Cynic, you wanna team up maybe when the division goes?
You're a jerk. You're all jerks.
Let's see. Rainbow Six looked interesting. I played a lot of Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six and then number two. So just seeing another one come out could be kind of fun. The ability to like break through walls looks like it's going to be an interesting mechanic because it felt like old Rainbow Six just boiled down to everybody hiding behind walls and blind firing at each other.
I just hope with that Rainbow Six, like I played some of the beta they had out a while back. And I really hope that – because like you see how the developers play it, and it looks really interesting.
Right.
That is not how the players are playing that game. The way that every single game that I've ever gone into or watched somebody play, the people who are holding the hostage just wall up the hostage room and turtle it.
That makes sense.
That is literally every single game.
Kind of like 2-Fort in TF2.
Well, yeah, and then like
it's terrible.
I guess – well, and this is going to be a wait and see. And hopefully they don't lean into it, but hopefully when they release it, they'll have some sort of ranking system, and then from that, more advanced players will a meta will form and a much more mobile one, and esports will grow out of it. Hopefully they don't push it to be esports.
Oh, they already are. Like one of the first things they showed was a commentated match.
Yeah.
Of Siege, it was terrible.
I mean, Rainbow Six has kind of a pedigree of being an eSport because it was old school MLG.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. And like you said, like they just turtle the hostage room. And I'm sure, kind of as time goes on, the meta game will probably change away from that. Yeah, like it's probably like it seems overpowered when nobody knows what they're doing. But then once people are like, oh, we just break the walls and we can just flood the room with grenades and it's whatever.
Well, it's just
hostages in there. But yeah, there'll be ways to get through it.
If it's a set room and there's set cover and you can shoot through the walls, then people will just shoot through the walls and it's the Counter-Strike thing of just like.
Well, I think what's going to happen, honestly, because like people can reinforce the walls and that solves the problem of shooting through the walls. What's going to happen is they're going to have to rebalance how many of the different kits that people get to force some walls to be vulnerable, just to force people to actually have to move outside that room.
Right. Or, force them to, move to objectives. Like, they gotta make sure, the FBI doesn't cut the power or something. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? For Honor looked interesting. I listened to a different podcast where people talked about playing it, and they had a good time with it, but they said it was a lot like Dynasty Warriors, which I could definitely see.
Oh, yeah.
You have the three big captains, and then a bunch of other small dudes. And
I forgot about that. They did show gameplay, and yeah, it was totally Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah. So it's like Dynasty Warriors, but with sword stances, so...
Yep.
You know what? I'll probably play this game.
Yeah, it looks sick.
It's incredibly beautiful Dynasty Warriors with, period-appropriate, pretty appropriate, outside of China. Like, it's actual, interesting stuff.
Yeah. I hope.
Interesting. It's not fucking Dynasty Warriors. But it just depends if it has a single player. I have a suspicion that it's a multiplayer only game, and then I'm not interested.
Yeah. Let's see. I think those are the big takeaways.
Let's keep moving. We need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sony's the big one that's next. Durin.
All right.
Where you sold Strap dreams. In.
All right, so first off, this is where I wanted to, what I want to talk about before we start recording, because Sony's press conference, I fucking called this shit.
Yeah, you did.
I called this shit so hard. Other than Shenmue, that was
No one expected Shenmue.
But I said The Last Guardian was going to be there.
Yeah,
I was surprised they opened with it. I thought they were going to close with it.
You also called 2016. You called it. You're like, only 2016 will be there, and you...
Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be this year, but I knew it had to be 2016, because they can't put it out any further than that and announce it right now.
Mm.
So, and then, of course, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah. But you will agree that even though you called it, it was still a shock that it happened, right?
Well, I knew this had to be the year for them to announce it, because I know that Nomura had to be working on it if they're going to do it.
Yeah,
And I know that he was working on Final Fantasy 15, and got pulled off of that to work on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
And so I knew that that he had to be in the right position for it to work out. But also, I knew it was going to be, and they haven't said this yet, but it's obviously going to be a 2017 release, making it the 20th anniversary for the game. So that, given that I knew it had to be a 2017 release, I knew they had to announce it this year.
I'm on a different tack. See, I think it's going to be in the 25th anniversary.
Well, no, because
like it's going to be a 2022 game. Like,
it seems like Kingdom Hearts is further along than I think we realize.
Yeah, that game looks sharp. We'll talk about
Kingdom Hearts is likely probably going to come out next year.
Yeah.
Kingdom
Hearts is not coming out next. Kingdom Hearts is 15th coming out next year, probably. Kingdom Hearts will be the year after that, probably.
So you think Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy are going to come out the same year?
No. So 15 is next year. Oh, yeah. I don't agree with you with 17. Again, I think 17 is 2025. I think that is not even like, that is a pipe dream. It is a CG trailer and nothing else.
I think if it comes out, it has to be 2017. Just straight up, it has to.
That would be the smart year. But then so you're saying Kingdom Hearts is 2018? Because 15 is soon. That game's almost done. So
they could probably push Kingdom Hearts to 2018.
That's what I would do.
It wouldn't surprise. Well, part of the reason why I say that is because Nomura was put on the project against his own knowledge for 7. Like they started this. No, he found it in an internal.
No way.
Yeah, oh. I read a news thing about it recently. He found an internal presentation that had his name on there as director, and like went to his boss and was like, "Hey, this says this," and he's like, "Yeah, totally." It's like, wait, I'm okay. I'm oh, like people okay. were like people were coming to him with questions about Final Fantasy VII, this remake project or whatever. Yeah. Like very specific questions, like in depth detail questions. He thought that was odd, and then he found this thing, and it like, turns out, oh, I'm fucking directing this.
Oh,
thing.
Oh, right, I'm all the right.
Yeah. So, and like given like the little bit of information we've had come out of it so far, And the fact that they said, you know, after they showed the CG trailer, they actually did come out and say, like, this isn't just a CG trailer. We have been working on a game. We're making good progress on it.
Oh, did they actually say that?
Okay. Yeah. They actually said the words, like, we're making good progress. That tells me, like, they're shaping up for 2017.
Now, granted, right?
It's going to be, like, holiday 2017. They're going to push it as far fucking back as they can. But it's going to hit 2017 for the 20th anniversary.
The interesting thing is that, unlike any other Final Fantasy game, they don't have to sit there and make the world, make the characters, write the script. They don't have to.
Yeah, story. Yeah. Granted, they did say that they are changing story stuff. So they're going to be remaking some things. But yeah, they've already said they're not adding any new characters. Mm. Likely, they're not going to fuck with the big stuff. You know, spoilers, like, Ares is still going to die.
I see. All right.
Wow.
So because we're getting we're like an hour into the show.
Yeah.
Durin, what do you want to see from Final Fantasy VII Remake?
I want to see a Final Fantasy VII that still has the main story intact, at least I would say 90% of what it was. And when I say main story, I mean literally the main story of you are Cloud Strife, you are an ex-soldier, you join Avalanche, that whole story of, you know, taking down Shinra and eventually taking down Sephiroth. That story needs to stay intact. As close as possible. I would love to see some more side stuff in the game. You know, that was obviously very sparse before. The towns didn't have a whole lot of townspeople, and there wasn't like side quests to do. So it'd be great to see a lot of side quests being added to the game. That said, they need to keep the cross-dressing thing in there.
Yep.
You can't get rid of that. It's not very important.
Yeah,
like, that is and legitimately, like, that is a staple of that game.
Right. Like the crazy is part of it.
As weird as people might think that would be in like, you know, a proper CG, you know whatever, like modern RPG, like it has to be there. And some people have also discussed like Barrett's character being kind of, you know, not PC for today's world. Mm-hmm. And while I can understand it to some extent, that's again, you can't change that character.
Well, yeah, you just like double down. Make him Mr. T. Make him Mr. T. Like
just make him a caricature, basically. Don't make him. They cannot constrain Barrett. Barrett needs to be Barrett. That's just what it comes down to.
Those are the things that. So what would you allow him to change?
No, they can change dialogue.
Okay.
They can change dialogue so some of the things he says maybe don't come off quite as potentially like racist or however you want to put it, as it might have, you know, back then or whatever. But as a character, like they can do that stuff and not change Barrett as a character. I think that's going to be one of the fine lines they're going to toe with him.
Yeah. Were there ever voice actors for Final Fantasy VII? Like,
they've never done the dub. Now they did do the Advent Children movie, so a lot of the characters didn't have voice actors.
Was that ever dubbed in English? Yes,
that was actually dubbed in English. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
it wasn't dubbed. Guys. I think it was actually re-CG'd for English. I think it actually like the mouths moved for English.
Jeez. They have to get those guys. They have to get those actors.
They have to get those guys in. Yeah. I believe the guy who did Cloud in that, I think, was also the same one who did Cloud in Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
Wow. And even if he's not, then they're going to get the guy from Kingdom Hearts because they already have him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see.
For me, like, what I really want to see is my friend. Did you see my post in Giant Bomb?
No.
I know a man who spent 60 hours. He was 16. He's like 12 years old, something, right? 60 hours trying to revive Aeris. He went through, like, every fucking like random back in '90s, all the myths, all the like bullshit forum crap that none of it was true. Shit that was posted in like editorial, like writing to the editors in like magazines and shit. He tried every goddamn thing he could to revive Aeris. I want them to put that in the game. I want them to put a way to revive Aeris in the game with an alternate ending that resolves the same way. But that accounts for
you. Literally can't have it resolved the same way.
She can just sacrifice herself at the end. She can just like die just before the end, as opposed to halfway through the game.
She has to be dead because she's the one who brings the holy
materia. Does the live stream and shit. Yeah. But like that can still be done. But like have her like come back and then die again. Like that's fine. But have it able to be done.
That's a bitch.
I know, but like, no, but it could be like an honorable sacrifice. It was, as opposed to her just getting stabbed through the back, it could be like an honorable sacrifice like at the end of the game. And have like,
I think Aries needs to die where she always died. I think that's just like the cross-dressing thing. That's a staple of the game.
It's going to happen, but
it's such an iconic cutscene. Yeah. And it's such not just the cutscene, but like the actual, like the act of killing off that main character. You know, one of the main characters in the game and them never coming back. Like that was a big thing.
But like,
and I feel like that's something they can't change with this.
Oh, it'd be so, but it would also be huge if like, say like 3 days after it comes out, someone like tries one of those myths, one of the fucking crazy myths out there and it works. And then that would be gigantic on the internet. People will get like mad and happy at the same time. It'll be the perfect internet shitstorm. The perfect internet shitstorm.
Anyway, perfect. Yeah, we definitely move on because we talked a lot about Final Fantasy at this point. World of Final Fantasy, I have no idea what the fuck that thing is.
Whatever, move on.
It's for the kids.
Yeah. So you guys, off stage for Ruth. Okay, my kids have Amplitude on here. I didn't see it, but okay, it's off stage.
Off stage, yeah.
We talked about Last Guardian already. Uncharted 4, other than their demo fucking up, like it looks really good. I'm kind of with Brad. Like it looks really good, but it's also another Uncharted. Like it looks like an Uncharted, plays like an Uncharted.
I
nothing unique about that at all.
There is nothing wrong with there being another Uncharted game.
There is, because it means there's not another Last of Us game.
No, I don't want another Last of Us. Stop. No.
I just want them to do another original thing.
I just want to see something other than Uncharted out of them. Like I'm done with Uncharted.
This is the last one, though. This is the last one. If they nail it, if they make an Uncharted 2 again.
Yeah, Nathan Drake will finish the fight. I hear you.
He finishes the fight and to an Uncharted 2 level quality, that could be something special.
We kind of touched on it earlier, Shinobi 3, like that's cool for some people out there. Obviously, people wanted it because it got funded really quickly.
Wondering if I should play Shenmue now. I don't know.
I'm not sure I like how they handled it. With the whole like advertising a Kickstarter on their fucking
press. That's a big question mark. Kickstarter is
advertising a Kickstarter on their press conference, saying like, "Hey, this is not our thing. This is all we thought was cool, so we put it up on our stage. Think it's funded." And they're like, "All right, we're gonna fund this game now. We're gonna put our money with it too." Like that's just,
but they're not putting like
it felt like a bait and switch.
It's really weird because they're not according to what the fuck is his name? What was his name again?
I don't know the guy.
Anyway, according to the director guy, and I'm sorry to Squiddle because he's not here, but he's not here, so fuck him.
Yu Suzuki.
Yu Suzuki, that's
which,
right.
By the way, just quick heads up, 19 days to go, $3.7 million.
Nice. So Yu Suzuki said that, yeah, Sony is not, like, not putting in as much money as public have been, like, speculating. He is actually going to get most of the funding from the Kickstarter. Sony is just kind of doing marketing for them, which is a lot of money. That's a lot of money in itself. But like,
you know. Yeah, I highly doubt that that's actually how it's going to turn out, because in order for them to make a game like he wants to make, like, Sony's going to put the fucking money in.
He does not realize how much money he's going to have to spend.
Now, I did hear him say that Sony's not seeing a dime of the Kickstarter money, which of course they're not.
Of course not.
That's but it's going into funding.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's cool for people who want another Shenmue. I'm not sure I like how they handled.
I like it. I liked it because,
like I said, I don't know if they did it the right way, because I feel like it was a bait and switch. Because, like, if they'd have been up front and would have said, like, you know, here's this thing, they're putting this Kickstarter up, you know, if it gets funded, you know, we've already talked with the developer and this is what we're gonna do. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
But I don't think they figured out what they were going to do. I still don't think they know what they're going to do.
That night they said, "All right, we're putting some money in there too."
Yeah.
But at the time, they didn't know.
It's one of those things where Adam Boy said, like, they even though they were doing that, they weren't sure whether it would get funded.
Well, no, they weren't sure whether we could fund it. No.
Yeah.
But they went into this knowing, like, okay, we're going to do this for you if it gets funded.
Yeah.
We're gonna help you out and make this game.
Right.
They did not tell us, the fans, that. Yeah. They told us, like, this is not our thing. We think it's
the end,
cool.
Though,
check,
like,
it out.
Isn't that a good thing that they're helping with the game? Like, what's wrong with that?
That's the thing. It is. What I'm saying is they did not go about it the right way. It felt, like I said, to me, it felt like a bait and switch.
You don't have to announce the fact that you're doing a good thing. Like, only if you're doing a bad, like, honestly, if it's like, oh, I can't even think of one. Like, in what way?
It's not a matter of announcing the fact that they're doing a good thing. It's being upfront and transparent about the fact that if you guys fund this Kickstarter, we will put some money in there too. As opposed to the way they went about it, which was, hey guys, this is their thing. We have nothing to do with this. We just think it's cool. Check it out.
Right.
Like, that's what felt like the bait and switch.
But it was kind of weird because from the very start, it was like on PlayStation 4 and PC. So you knew that they were doing stuff. From the time he was on stage, it was PlayStation 4 PC. And so, like, the whole time,
he knew. Maybe we're talking, but there was no indication there was money being exchanged.
Yeah. But I don't think, like, I'm actually not with you in this one. I think that they hadn't decided how much money that would be exchanged at that point.
Again, so, maybe they hadn't, but they had decided there was going to be some money exchanged. They weren't transparent about that. When they announced it on stage, they could have done that in a better way.
Isn't it them being on the Sony stage kind of that?
Not necessarily. I mean, is Sony putting money into No Man's Sky?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Also, it was probably like...
That's why I say console exclusive at the
start. The money they put in was probably just Adam Boy's buying that jacket. He got the $10,000 tier.
He probably did.
Yeah, he probably did.
Street Fighter V, like, cool for Sony that they got a Street Fighter for exclusive, but I don't play Street Fighter, so I don't care. Hitman looked stylish and interesting, but I'm terrible at Hitman games, so I'll probably buy it when it's like $5 and then play it for 20 minutes, get caught, and then quit the game.
Honestly, the only thing I want to hear from you before we move on from Sony is, what do you think of Horizon?
Zero Dawn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Horizon looked fucking baller. Like,
that game, thank you.
Like,
words.
That game was fucking awesome.
Fucking, like, baller cool. is the perfect phrase.
it's cool to see a new IP from a big studio, finally.
Yeah.
Like, it took this goddamn long, but we're finally seeing, like
after your fucking Infamous Second Son, after your fucking Killzone Shadowfall, after all that bullshit, we finally get a new goddamn IP from one of these first-party studios.
Well, and also, it's the Killzone team, isn't it?
Yeah, Killzone team.
Well, now it's all Guerrilla. Yeah, so they started with a sub-team of 30 people, and everyone else was working on Killzone Shadowfall, and it was their best Killzone game, in my opinion. And then after that, the big team joined the small team. Now it's all Guerrilla working on Horizon.
Yeah,
it's 2016. That's nuts. That's nuts. That's next year.
God, and again, like, that game looks really fucking good. Like, we're finally starting to see these games coming into their own now. Like, we were seeing stuff that isn't just like, oh, looks, you know, the lighting on that looks really good.
Yeah, exactly. And this is just like everything, and it's open world. I cannot believe a game looks that good and it's open world.
Yeah, it's well,
shocking.
Dreams. I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know. Like, is it played with a fucking, like, I feel like that should be played with a Move controller.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's just it. The PlayStation in 4 Morpheus is a Move controller.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
there's DualShock.
But like in Morpheus or something, like I don't see the game there. I'd like Little Big Planet. I'd like Little Big Planet. Like a Little Big Planet, I can see the game. Like you can see a game there.
Yeah, I can't
with
see the game.
Dreams, I don't see a game yet. I see a concept.
Like, yeah, it looks like watching video vignettes is what it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Which I mean, if that's what it turns out to be, like you make your own little shorts and you can like share them with friends, share them online, like you did with Little Big Planet, like that's totally cool too. Like not everything has to be a game necessarily on a game console.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Mario Paint. That's right. I just compared Dreams to Mario Paint. Firewatch. I still don't know what it is.
Nope.
Morpheus still looks cool, but I still don't know how it's going to work.
A lot of great hardware. Impressions from the Slow 4. Like, the good thing about doing this.
I want to know how they're doing it, though, because like with Oculus and some of the other VRs, like it requires so much power that the PS4 clearly doesn't have.
Yeah.
And yet but this thing is able, like Morpheus is able to pull it off in some. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not seeing like crazy, you know, we're not seeing Elite being played on Morpheus or anything like that.
No. But it's
able to pull off a lot more than I thought it would.
It's one of those things where it's like people, like the narrative that the public has made about how much power that is needed for VR is entirely different from the reality of what is required to do VR. Because so there's two ways of looking at this, right? And I do think we need to move on from Sony after this and just like move on for E3 in general in quick step. But I do want to talk about this specifically.
Let's go for another 4 hours. It's fine.
Yeah.
YOLO.
The thing is, right? People look at VR and go, okay, it's like you can make all current games. Like, so to make an amazing looking current gen game on VR, you need a fucking huge rig. But that's like not the point. You need to make VR games for VR's sake. And if you think about it, any time in history where developers have been constrained, have been like, okay, this is how much hardware you've got. You need to make your dreams happen in this like small slit of hardware performance to make it work. That's when you get shit like fucking Shadows of the Colossus.
That's when you get really interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, really amazing shit, right? And those games, again, like Shadows of the Colossus, it doesn't look incredible, even though it did look incredible back on PS2 era. It just ran like shit. They designed it for that platform. So with PS4, what you'll find is the games look incredible, but what people have been seeing is that they're amazing looking shallow experiences. So like you have amazing looking experiences, but it's in a small room, and that's fine. Like I'm fine with PT in VR. That game looked incredible, and it'll be terrifying. But and I'll never play it. But what I'm saying is games can look amazing and run on the PS4 and be in VR. They just won't be Horizon, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just quickly wanted to comment on John Vignacchi's performance on stage. I think it was stellar. He has a future in late night infomercials.
if
this whole Disney thing doesn't work out, he can sell the next Slap Chop.
I hate to say this, but I hear his mom's really proud of that performance.
His dad, though, could be fucked to watch it.
There were more important things to be watching.
Mitch, anything from Sony?
I mean, I'm excited for Hitman just because I've played Blood Money and Absolution to a gross degree as well. But other than that, I mean, I kind of just echo a lot of what you said. What looks pretty cool is pretty cool. So
yeah, like Sony, like they had a solid fucking like. Not only did they have a solid conference, after last year, I was like, man, there's no way they can top this. After this year, there is literally no way they can top this.
Right? Exactly.
There are no more Last of Us's or Final Fantasies or Duke Nukem Forever's. Like, there's no like white whale out there that we're all waiting on anymore. Like they exhausted all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. This was awesome.
Yeah, hell of a year for Sony. And again, that's the biggest where that comes in when we were talking about before about like if they can deliver.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If Last Guardian comes out, Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out, Shenmue 3 comes out, and they're not garbage, this is their biggest E3.
Oh, for sure.
Quickly on Nintendo, NX, not until next year. We already kind of knew that. Paper Jam looked really cool, but I just want a new Paper Mario. So
yeah,
that was kind of a bummer to see like Paper Mario, and it's like, oh no, it's just one of those DS adventures.
You're getting half of what you want.
No, because it's not gonna.
You're getting a third of what you want.
You're getting something.
I think because of the popularity of those Mario and Luigi games, we will never see another Paper Mario.
Okay.
Because yeah. they basically took the Paper Mario formula and made it into this, and it became more popular than Paper Mario ever was. And then they sullied Paper Mario's name with Super Paper Mario, which I thought actually was not a terrible game, but was not received well at all.
Yeah.
Mario Tennis.
I thought Paper Mario was... Oh, is this Super that wasn't received
Super
well?
Super was not received well.
Huh.
I thought it was actually a totally fine game. I think
yeah, it was all right. I heard it was okay.
Yeah, like it was a cool like take on the Paper Mario universe, but not being a normal RPG.
Mm.
Mario Tennis looks awesome. I can't fucking wait to play that.
I knew you'd love that. I knew you'd love that announcement. Fuck you.
All right, love Mario Tennis. Star Fox looks like another Star Fox game, so that's cool. I guess.
All right. So I need
watch
to
watch it gets weird.
I need to know. Do you think that game looks acceptable in 2015?
I need to see it on a bigger screen
okay.
than what I saw on. Right. Because I agree with Dan. I think they're trying to go for the Nintendo 64 Star Fox look, but they might be going a little bit too far in that direction. Like, I understand they want to evoke that look, but they maybe get up the polygons by a little bit.
Yeah. Have more stuff going on. Like, you can have that look, but have stuff going on to go, okay, this is why it's running.
Well, and like, I was like, oh man, this is really cool and everything. And then when he said, like, all, you know, all, what's the mode where it turns into like a 360 arena?
Yeah.
Whatever that mode is. Like, when he said that, I was like, oh, so this is still just a, like, point A to point B.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shoot things as I fly. I have no control over. Okay, great.
We're
still doing that again.
Hey, man, like, you can use the gamepad to, like, look at stuff.
I was. Yeah, I can use the gamepad to hold it up like this. It's just under my eye level of the TV, so I can.
Yeah, so you can, like, look at both. Like, it's a shit game, DS game.
This. And that's. Oh, this is fun, guys. This
yeah, you know awesome. What? I think they think that is going to be hugely fun. And also, I think that's why the game
really
looks
hoping,
like that.
I was really hoping for, like, a. Not an open world Star Fox, but like where every level was a giant arena.
Right.
Sure.
Like did anybody ever play the old Independence Day game?
Uh-uh.
No one played that game.
I think I did. It was a Star Fox kind of game, right?
Yeah. But it was like a big open arena area.
Yeah, but just like
everywhere and like you were underneath the big giant mothership.
Was it?
And like it was just this,
I mean, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to say it was good.
But it, like, if the levels were like that, where they were like giant open spaces.
Right.
But you were, okay, here we go. Star Fox on the DS. There was a versus mode.
Yeah.
There was a big open arena where you fought against each other and had power-ups. And that's what the fucking game needs to be.
So Warhawk.
Every level should be one of those.
It should be Warhawk.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool.
They need to make
Warhawk but with Star Fox skins.
Yeah, and like it's
And you know like, what? That's what fucking would have happened if they'd had somebody else make the game.
I know. If they made I agree.
I get it back. That's what should be happening because they are having somebody else make the game because Platinum is making it.
Oh, whoa. Oh yeah, they are.
Platinum is making this game. And that's the most bummer thing of all because like this is gonna be the most boring Platinum game ever.
Yeah, like it's, and just in terms of like, for me, it's always the scope. Like, it's games need to sell me on the scope as well as their like thing, and it feels like the scope of this game is from the 90s.
Right.
Like, even if it looked like that, but it's like, oh, this is like a $15 downloadable, like the scope's like paid for, and it's a really good experience within that. That's cool, but it seems to me like this is their big game for 2015, and it just doesn't feel it.
Well,
it's the opposite of No Man's Sky.
Yes.
One of their big games of 2015.
Are you saying Mario Tennis is the other one?
Mario Tennis is definitely a big one. That will actually legitimately sell really well.
Yeah, I reckon that's the best game of the year, I think. That's going to be amazing. For people who like Mario Tennis, unlike myself, but yeah, it's going to be good.
We'll go ahead and keep it on the list here. Meeple Skylanders, like, that's... it was a cool idea, but I'm with Jeff. Like, the whole idea with Skylanders is they can go anywhere, go everywhere, whatever. These are literally Skylanders that you can only use on a Nintendo platform. What the fuck are they doing?
You only get them from buying the pack, the Nintendo pack.
Yeah. And you can only use them on the Nintendo console. It's not even like the fucking Boba Fett character where you have to buy the PlayStation pack to get the Boba Fett, but you can still use it on the on the Xbox One.
It's a time exclusive. Like, it's going to eventually come over, like, by itself as well.
But the Nintendo ones, nope, fuck you guys. This is ours and ours only. Like, it's just, it goes against what Skylanders is. Mm. And, like, they're amiibos, too. Like, great. Like, I need another Bowser amiibo.
But does anyone really care about the Toys to Life category? Like, us. Like grown ass men. Fuck you, Dory.
I don't own Skylanders and
Infinity. How many do you own?
Okay, to be fair, like, I bought them actually for my son. Okay. I don't even actually play the game. But, like, okay. Infinity, like, he's got, like, I think we have, like, a basket about, like, maybe this big. It's kind of.
I'm not going to describe how big that basket is because I'm going to make the audience assume that's a clothes basket sized basket.
But no, he's probably got like probably 7 or 8 Infinity characters. All
right.
Mostly because like with the 2.0, like we waited a while to get it for him, finally got it for him, and got him like some Avengers characters because he's into that right now. Nice. The thing about the Toys Life thing is like. Skylanders, to me, completely fell off. Like, the Skylanders are not interesting at all anymore. Infinity could be really interesting if they would do the LEGO Dimensions thing. If they would allow Hulk to play in the playset Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
That would be a really interesting and fun game.
They said that during the playset mode, which is, and that's still fully open, you can have anyone play with anyone.
The what now?
The playset mode.
No, that's the toy box mode.
Oh, the toy box
mode. But the actual game, because the toy box is not a game. It's the
building. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the little actual make game stuff.
You have to play as those characters. So, like, my son went and got recently. He went out and like used his own money for the first time. For anybody who doesn't know, he's like 4 years old. So this was a big deal.
Yeah.
Went and used his own money, and he went and bought 2 new figures.
Right.
And so he picked out.
I don't know who we got.
What
One of them was Avengers.
Okay, so like Thor or whatever.
No, he already had Thor. Goddamn.
Iron Hulk. Man. Thor, Hulk. The Hulk.
It's Hulk. He's way into Hulk. So he went out and he got Hulk and he got Groot.
Yeah, nice. Groot, both solid choices.
Yeah. Great choices. Except that when he was playing his Avengers playset thing, and was playing as Hulk and decided to switch to Groot, wouldn't let him. Can't use Groot. So I had to explain to him, like, no, sorry, you can't play with that one.
The Guardians of the Galaxy universe and the Marvel, like, the Marvel
film
haven't really met.
I understand these are big companies, but a 4-year-old does not understand why Groot can't play with Iron Man.
I love that conversation of, like, okay, so the universes and the comics are, like, different to the...
and this is why Dimensions is so great and why Infinity needs to adopt that. Because in Dimensions, you could totally do that. Like, you could have Groot and Hulk be playing together. It's totally fine.
That's cool. Like,
there's no problems there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the Dimensions, it's a fucking LEGO game, so the gameplay's shallow as shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to... Nintendo.
Yeah. Laser focus.
Nintendo.
Laser focus.
Fire Emblem looks really cool. I didn't play the other one, but I might actually try to get this one.
Okay, fine. I was going to say, you need to play the other one, but then this one's coming out. The question is, I still think you probably should play the other one, because this might be a Vesperia situation where the sequels aren't. Like, subsequent games aren't as good as the original.
I got Bravely Default still to play.
I don't know why I called Vesperia the original. It's not the original. But yeah, Bravely Default. Like, yeah, that's...
I think I played that one, so, yeah. Anyway, Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem looks really interesting, but I don't know.
What the fuck is that game?
So it seems like what it is you're playing a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Yeah.
Except you're
but the tone is different. You're an idol.
Well, no, your things you invoke are not these weird little figures that they were in those other games. They are Fire Emblem characters. So, like, you can invoke Marth.
Oh, so you summon Marth or whatever.
Yeah. So you're playing with, like, the high school or whatever, But instead of summoning a fucking fire monster dude, you're something like Marth or you know, whatever.
Instead of getting Jack Frost up in your hizzy, you're getting Marth.
So like it seems like it could be kind of interesting if that's the case. Yeah. I don't know. I guess if you like those types of Shin Megami games and are
but a fan it's not of fire, that either. Like I am well to some extent. I'm sorry if I just made a loud noise there. I don't want to play in an idol master world. Like the whole point is like your friends are like these like idols and like all that kind of garbage. And so I like
five coming out anyway, so fuck this game. Really, it gets down to it. Zelda Triforce Heroes. It's you know the Dynasty Warrior. Or no, that's not the Dynasty Warrior. That's the
three. You can play as three people because four people was too high. Fuck you. God damn it, Nintendo. Oh, and people love that. People love like, oh yeah, they really thought about it. No, they didn't think about it. They would just design their game differently, you assholes.
And it's just because Triforce happens to have three. That's why. If this is a quad force, it would be four player.
God. Fucking made me so mad.
Metroid Prime Fusion... Metroid Prime Federation Force, not Fusion Force, goddammit. Metroid Prime Federation Force was basically the Final Fantasy VII PS4 port announcement of last year of this
E3.
We're getting another Metroid Prime game, guys.
I had to explain to the other guys during that podcast of like what it meant to the Nintendo fans. I'm happy to have a Nintendo fan here. So did this make you angry, or do you understand why it made people angry?
I knew it was coming because of the
ball game thing, or whatever.
I knew that's what this was. Hmm. Also, like, I am not at all a fan of the Metroid Prime games. I think they're terrible. But they're all terrible games anyway. Well, because like they're fucking shooters, but they don't play like a goddamn shooter. Like, how do you make a shooter where you can't fucking aim? Like, what the fuck, Nintendo? Anyway.
People love him, man. I don't know why, but
You know, people love Shenmue.
Yeah. I think
strong words.
People love Mario 64. Come on, all right.
Whoa! All right, no, Durin.
Don't you make just me lost go
all,
there.
Yeah, you just lost all the Nintendo fans who actually listened.
No, to I lost. I lost them like last year or year before
That's true.
I just lost all the new ones, I guess. But no, Metro Prime Fusion or Federation Force. That's a real bummer for Metroid Prime fans because that game was like fucking ass. Like even they could have named it whatever they wanted to. That game looks bad. Like for a 3DS game, visually, that game looks like a DS game.
3DS games look shit. I was saying this last week.
3DS games look bad. Can look pretty okay. That game,
I can't think of one that looks okay.
Blocky, and like it just. I swear that character model can't be more than maybe 30 polygons.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a Nintendo 64 game.
It looks terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
3DS games can definitely look way better than that, especially first party stuff. That game is a shit show.
I can't think of a good looking 3DS
game. Those characters they showed.
You're right. Fucking Ace Attorney looks incredible.
Again, go back to Bravely Default. Like, that game looks great.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Bravely Default looks fucking great on that system.
Yeah.
So there's no reason that game should look like it does. It's if that game releases for more than $20, Nintendo has lost their goddamn minds.
Hmm.
Because that looks like a fucking Steel Diver kind of thing. I don't know.
Is that all Nintendo?
So I thought okay, Drew's not that much younger than us. Or is than me, I guess. I forgot I'm older.
You're like a million
years
old. So.
Yeah, whatever. Drew's not that much younger. He's like in his mid-20s, I think, right?
Yeah.
So I felt like I was pretty much like in the know with what kids are into, and so you know I know about the Yu-Gi-Ohs and the Digimons and things like that.
Oh goodness!
What the fuck is Yo-Kai Watch?
This is going to be a repeat of last week's. So Yo-Kai Watch.
When I was a kid.
No, because no,
Drew
no.
was all into that.
Wait, Drew like Drew Dry Bomb Drew.
Yeah, Drew Scanlon.
He was all about Scanlon? That.
Really? He likes Yo-Kai Watch? So Yo-Kai Watch is the new Pokemon, man. It's the biggest thing in Japan by far for kids. It is like a juggernaut over there. It's bigger than Pokemon. Not than Pokemon ever was, but it's big. It's as big as Pokemon in its like heyday.
And it's basically just Pokemon where you're catching ghosts.
Ghosts. Like, there's no other way to like describe the spirits.
So it's a less diverse Pokemon.
Well, no, it's okay. The character models are more interesting. I think they look bad, but they're more interesting. The big question for me is like, I haven't seen the game played yet, aside from what they showed. So I don't know how you catch them. I know that like, you get the first one out of like one of those little machines, yep. Those capsule machines.
Professor, you choose one of three, and you always choose.
The that fire was type. Sick. I missed that shit. You get a capsule machine, you spin it, and you get like this thing, and a capsule, and it opens up into your car. I don't know. Apparently, they're spirits, and he meets them, and he solves problems in the real world by like talking to these spirits. It's essentially The World Ends With You, but Pokemon style. Yeah, I'm as confused as you
were. Moving on. Nintendo?
Nope, not at all.
Moving on. Square Enix.
Last of the show.
Square Enix was...
beautiful. Beautiful and terrible.
Okay, so here's the thing with Square Enix, all right? It's funny that you even have Kingdom Hearts 3 on here. Because Kingdom Hearts 3 was in a montage.
The thing is, Final Fantasy 15 was in the montage after two mobile games. Kingdom Hearts 3 had a really good demo.
They showed Kingdom Hearts Unchained Key, but they didn't show Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, no. They showed Kingdom Hearts 3. That's the demo they had, the live demo with the 3D world and like. Did you not see that part?
I think I just realized something here.
What?
All the Kingdom Hearts games look the same.
No. I'll give you that. But the Kingdom Hearts looked really sharp, man. It looked really sharp, really sharp. It's not a game for me, but it's.
I vaguely remember.
It was like fighting was and like he jumped on a train and the train went around and hit this thing in the fist and then that.
Lost me.
There were cups.
Lara Croft Go looked interesting, but I'm not sure how the game plays. Like,
yeah.
Hitman made sense in that playstyle. I'm not sure how that one works. They kind of showed the trailer for Final Fantasy VII Remake again, and then said like they'll have more details this winter. One of those details is the name.
What?
They were careful to come out and say like Final Fantasy VII Remake is not the name.
Really?
Announce that later.
Whoa! I don't remember this. Like, it's just in a press release or whatever.
It was something that came out after the fact, but yeah.
Fuck. It should be called Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's the name. That should be. You know what's gonna happen? You know what's gonna happen now. You know if this is a subtitle, that means, and I mark my words, the first game of the Final Fantasy VII Remake series is gonna be Midgar, and that's it. And it's gonna end, and then there's gonna be two other games to complete that fucking set.
No. They'll do the entire game all in one go. It's going to be like they're going to give it some fucking Square Enix subtitle. It's going to be like Final Fantasy VII.
I think you're being too optimistic.
Before Advent or some shit.
No, you are far too optimistic about this bullshit. It's going
to be Rising of the Advent Children.
It's Final Fantasy VII 382 divided by Advent Children.
Final Fantasy VII 382 divided by zero.
it's gonna be like the first part of a. It's gonna be three games. It's gonna be three games to make Final Fantasy VII again.
There's no way they could get away with that.
100% they can get away. You know in your heart they can get away with it.
Now, if you want to say that they're going to make a sequel to Final Fantasy VII after VII is done, that's a terrible idea. They will do that.
Okay, maybe they might. Okay, there's definitely going to be multiple Final Fantasy VII games this generation. Or like,
assuming this one doesn't completely bomb, like, sales-wise, like, yeah, exactly. Like, physically. they're going to make more because they're going to realize, oh, shit, this really does print money, just like our customers have been saying all these years.
Exactly. So it's things that will print money. There is no way you'll get under, like, at a minimum.
And then we'll get Dirge of Cerberus HD, and then they'll never make another one.
Because I've already said, like, here's the vote in your camp. They've said that if this is successful, they'll remake six in the same style, which is cool, right?
I don't think they hinge that on whether or not this is successful. He said that he would like to make Nomura said he would like to make five and or four and six.
Right, which is the good ones. Or two of the other good ones.
He didn't say that this, the successes of this hinged on that at all.
Oh, okay, really?
That right, was just like, so, someone, like, he was just saying, like, I would like to make those.
Right, so in and there's also the second part of it of, like, him, like, the reason they're making it now, and I said this last week, is because a bunch of those guys are actually retiring soon, and they want to get it done before they
retire. Well, a lot of it was, like, it actually had a greenlit a long time ago. Right. It was just the schedules never lined up.
Yeah.
And so finally they're lining up now where they can actually go ahead and do this, so they're doing right. it.
And so, like, in the those two things in the favor of it being a one-shot, one-and-done Final Fantasy VII remade start to finish, I do not think that a smart company in 2017 would do that. I think they would make
it. I agree with you. We're talking about Square Enix, though, and that's exactly what they're going to do.
What? Like, make it a one-and-done?
Square Enix is not a smart company. We've seen that in the past.
No, they're gonna make it a trilogy, man. They're gonna make it like the first.
They're not gonna break it up into a trilogy. They're going to make the game. They are absolutely gonna do spin-offs of it, like they did.
It's built in. Like there's three discs, right? And so you can just have it as disc one, disc two, disc three.
Given where disc one ended in that game, no.
You could. Yeah, you could. Think of it. Think of the tears.
No, that's the thing that was like because the story of this game is already known, there's absolutely no way you could do that because you're asking fans to wait another 2 or 3 years to pick up. They wouldn't.
Who's playing this? Who hasn't played 7? Or okay, maybe there are a couple people that will, but most of the people who are playing this will have played 7. So that it's going to be like fucking.
That's what I'm saying. Is yeah, there are people. You know, that's the problem. Is that you know, being a person who has played 7 a few times. If I, you know, playing this game and I get to the end of the Temple of the Ancients and it says, all right, see you in, you know, whatever, you know, see you on that next game.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fucking pissed. And I'm a person who has already played 7. Mm. At this point, I've seen what I need to see out of a 7 remake. I will not buy the other games.
That's true. But the thing is, right, you've already bought one.
And exactly, so, I bought one, and they're going to hemorrhage money on the other two, so that doesn't make sense.
No, because they just go up from there. It doesn't matter. Like, if 5 million people is the market base for this, and 5 million people buy the first one, because that's literally all they need, Eris dies, and then, yeah, that's all you really need to play. Is that the first quarter? The second one, right? All right, yeah, so you get to there and they're like, oh shit, Eris isn't dead yet. So it's like, okay, that they want to relive that part. So they buy the first one. Maybe like 3 million buy the second one. They've already made 3 million more sales than they would have.
Given the production values that are going to be required to make this thing, again, given the CG video they showed, you know, they're clearly going for a proper AAA big giant game. There is no way Square Enix can afford to do 3 of those games.
No, there's no way they can't.
Remember, this is a company that 2 years ago was fucking floundering. Like they were struggling to survive. Yeah. 2-3 years ago.
Thanks to Final Fantasy 13, that's the trilogy.
Well, no, it was mostly thanks to, funny enough, Final Fantasy 14, which is also the game that then brought them back from it as well.
Yeah,
but like they're just now coming back out of that. The last thing they're going to do is, you know, they're already, you know, betting on this remake as it is. The last thing they're going to do is turn that into 3 giant projects.
Yeah,
there's just no way.
So we need to move on, but the question to me is, would I like this game in 2017? Like, is this something I just play for the nostalgia? Or is, because 15 is awesome. I love what I've
played. I think a lot of that depends on the person. Like,
a lot of it depends on the battle system they use. Like, what battle system?
I'm fairly certain that, like, no matter what, I'll probably enjoy it, unless they just completely turns into a train wreck. Unless they completely change the game from what it was before, if it's no longer recognizable as Final Fantasy VII.
Well, it's not going to be turn-based. Oh, sorry,
well, not turn-based. It's not going to be the active time battle system. But, like, you know, unless they turn it into fucking Dirge of Cerberus combat or something, like turn it into a shooter or turn it into a slasher game, like,
yeah.
I'll probably still enjoy it. Like, if the combat in this game is similar to, like, Final Fantasy 13 or Final Fantasy 10-2, like, you know, faster combat, but still you still have control of all your characters. I'm still able to assign my materia. I'm still, like, if I'm able to do all those functions, like, it's that's totally fine.
Because touch wood, touch wood, I don't think they've made – on a mainline Final Fantasy game, I don't think there's a single one with a bad combat system except for maybe two.
12.
And that's it. Oh, I like 12. No, fuck you. I love 12. 12 was excellent. I love 12.
12 was
we need to move on. Star Wars is dying.
I'm fine. It's fine. I'll just edit all this out.
Anything, Mitchell, from Square?
No, other than Hitman, but we already talked about that.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Just real that's quickly, I did want to touch on Cuphead. Looks fucking awesome.
Cuphead.
That game looks great. Oh, my God, Cuphead.
I don't like
it. I don't even care what the game is. I just want to see that, like, forever.
I'm the only person in the world who doesn't like anything about Cuphead.
I just love that they like it was cool to me that Obsidian was able to nail the South Park look. The fact that these guys have nailed this look is even more insane. Yeah. Like that's what I like about it. That's what I'm saying. Like I don't care what the game is, I just want to see more gameplay of it.
It does look sharp. Like, I hate how it looks.
Like I might not buy it, but they nailed it. See how the way it looks. Like I might not buy it, but I'll just watch videos of it. I'll watch people play it. Like that looks great.
They nailed the look. I just don't like the look.
So okay. Therb.
Yes.
And I guess Cynic also.
Yep.
Are we getting to a point where there's too much Dark Souls? Like, we just came off Bloodborne, and we already have a Dark Souls 3 announcement.
I didn't even finish Bloodborne. Like, I think we've gotten to Souls saturation.
I feel like it's becoming an annualized franchise.
The problem is that even though those games are still quality and they still play great and they're still like it's not like Assassin's Creed, right, where they fell off and they get it and they're trying to work their way back on and are never going to. This is like the reason people like those games is also why they're getting tiring because they're all kind of the same game because it's all that specific like even though like. Bloodborne, they changed some stuff up.
It's like dodging. It's like you really enjoyed the Da Vinci Code, and then you went back and read all the Dan Brown novels and realized it's the same formula over and over again.
Exactly. It's the same formula. That's exact right word. It's different variations of the same formula.
So it's as if like you know Dan Brown were to release one of those every 9 months.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much, because you're right. It's kind of close between them, like a year apart.
Like that's kind of how I felt when I saw that this was actually going to be a thing. Like I'm like, I feel like you know, we haven't even got any DLC yet for Bloodborne.
No,
oh, yeah. And we already have a Dark Souls 3 announcement for what is it, Q1 2016? Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, that's a really quick turnaround. Like if it's a 2017 game or late 2016 game, yeah, sure. But it's like first quarter.
I feel like Dark Souls is one of those franchises that you've got to have a few years. Like,
yeah.
You haven't, like, okay. One of the things that made Dark Souls really interesting as a series, I think one of the things that made it become a lot more popular and mainstream, was that you got this community built up around the game. You got this kind of mythos about Dark Souls. Yeah. And then it became popular for streamers on Twitch. You got a lot of people playing on Twitch and everything. And it built up this even bigger community.
Yeah.
The games at this point are coming out so fast, there's no community, there's no time for a community to build up around the game anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like by the time you finish the first game, they got some DLC out or whatever, move on to like it's literally becoming fucking Call of Duty all over again.
Yeah, it is a movie. It's like seasons. And yeah, it's just like that gap between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2 is part of what made Dark Souls so amazing.
Yeah.
Like the fact that like we wouldn't have gotten Vinny Plays Dark Souls like if they were one year apart. Right?
No, it would have just been absolutely.
Yeah, and like yeah, just that momentum isn't being given enough time to build. But more importantly, like I can't play a game like that every year.
Yeah, no. That's exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Those games are made to exhaust you. They're made to make you like physically tired after playing them. And I can't do that every year.
Yeah. Dean Hall's new game looks kind of interesting, but they haven't shown
it. No, it doesn't. It was a cutscene. Like, we don't what know is what that? It is.
It
sounds interesting because like something from the DayZ guy, but like
in space.
Space.
Yeah.
Mm.
Has potential is what I mean. Like I don't know what that is yet. But yeah.
I'm not a multiplayer guy.
Oh shit.
I can't do it.
Rock Band 4 again. Like I went and got fucking surgery done on my hands so that I could play Rock Band. So
that's, you know, that's one to one. That one. One to one.
You one to one. That's exactly why I went and got it done. MGS 5 looks a lot less interesting now that I'm hearing it's like Peace Walker.
What do you mean? It's like, what do you mean?
Like, it's not a normal Metal Gear game. It's a, like, stage-based.
It's like, stage-based?
Missions, you get missions.
But it's open world, though, right?
It's open world. But, like, it's open world in that, like, you go from Mother Base and you get a mission, and then you go and you get dropped off to a point, and it's a big open area, so your missions are over there. But then once you're done, you're extracted back to Mother Base again. Yeah. Oh. No, this is a fucking level-based bullshit.
I don't... That's...
It's just what? It's just dropping you different places around the world, but, like, it's Peace Walker.
That's shit.
It's Peace Walker without any real story, it sounds like, because they couldn't pay Kiefer Sutherland enough to actually talk.
Yeah, that's fucking lame.
Yeah.
What? I thought it'd be... Like, half the reason that people like Ground Zeroes was that... Like, sure, it was one mission, but, like, that was the game. Like, you're in the world, and you're in the world. This is that over and over again.
You complete your objective, you reach the extraction point, helicopter shows up, you jump in the helicopter, you go back to Mother Base, you do your thing there, crash some things, put a new building up, whatever you're going to do, hire some new guys... Go grab a new mission, hop in the helicopter, it takes you to a drop-off point. You drop off, you move on to the next thing.
I don't like that at all. That's not Metal Gear.
So yeah, like it's open world in that when you're dropped off, your objective is probably like, you know, X number of yards that way, figure out how to get there.
Yeah, and it's an open world in that sense. But it's like, but I loved the whole, like, you don't know what's around the next corner from Metal Gear. Mm. Like, it could be just like, bonkers crazy. It could be a boss fight in the next room. You don't fucking know. It's like,
and somebody said this on the Giant Bombcast, I think, but like, I would have a whole different reaction to this if this was like Metal Gear subtitle,
right?
If this was some like shoot off thing. But the fact that they're calling this Metal Gear 5, and the fact that this is probably the last proper Metal Gear is a real fucking bummer. I'm with them on the podcast, like on the Bombcast, like. I hope this is all fucking bait and switch.
Yeah.
I hope to God that this is not actually the game. And like, this is like, it starts out for this stuff. And it's like, no, we're kidding. Here's the actual game. Snake's totally like, you can't shut him up. Here's all this style. Like, here's the story. Throw it all at you. Like,
the Kiefer Sutherland thing was like a voice modification and they really brought back.
What's David Hayter?
Yeah. Or like, you start off as Kiefer Sutherland's character. Like, they were talking about this on the podcast. Like, start off as Kiefer Sutherland's character doing this Peace Walker thing, and then like in a mission something happens, and you are now then playing as Solid Snake. And playing as David Hayter, and everything.
You just described my dream scenario. Like, literally, you like the first part of this game is
here's what it is. First part is Kiefer Sutherland's guy.
Yeah,
you're doing the Peace Walker stuff. You're ballooning things out of everything. You're building up your base. Yeah. Everything's great. This is like first few hours of the game.
Yeah, like a good 10 hours. Like, it feels like
Then a nice long cutscene starts.
Yeah.
You settle in through your cutscene. And at some point in that cutscene, something happens to Kiefer Sutherland's snake. And you're clearly now given control of the other snake. Like, not given control. The other snake is now clearly the main focus. And he turns and looks at the camera and says, "Kept you waiting, huh?"
This is a legit reaction for me. That's not me just pretending. That would be perfect. That would be goddamn perfect. Oh my god. That's you just described my perfect game. Like, from there it was just like Metal Gear ass Metal Gear. Like, just like
Metal Gear that ends with him getting the call to go to Shadow Moses.
Yeah, that would. Oh man, that would be like the most perfect. Like, because, like, that is Metal Gear. That's what it's about. It's about David Hayter. It's about fucking. Derek just hurt his hand. It's about like just like the sneaking mission, and it's about like crazy plot shit that doesn't like have to do with like small little missions. It's about like a long continuous plot that like draws out and makes you sit there for like an hour watching cutscenes, and you love it the whole time because fuck it, it's Metal Gear. And it's like, and there's going to be a hole in the plot because I'm never going to go back and play Metal Gear 1. I'm not talking about Metal Gear Solid. I'm talking about Metal Gear 1. That's not going to happen. So like, if my perfect game would be starts at Big Boss, bridges the gap between Peace Walker and Metal Gear 1, switch to Solid Snake, and then you play through Metal Gear 1. And then you get to the end. That would be the perfect like ending to the series. Because it's like
and you know what?
It's not gonna happen. not going to happen. But we'll be checking it.
Hey guys, Half-Life 3 might be a thing too. You never know.
But you know what? You know what? Anything's possible. We're getting a Final Fantasy 7 remake.
That's true.
So I don't know anymore.
Like next year, we might get like Metal Gear 1 remade by Platinum Games. I don't know.
I mean, like the cool thing is definitely like after this, what is Kojima's next thing? That's like that is on the horizon thing I'm excited most about.
Metal Gear 1 made by Platinum Games, directed by Square 65.
After this, whatever Kojima's next thing is, we won't know for a long time.
No.
So, but anyway, real quickly.
That's the white whale that Sony is looking for next, is just like bringing Kojima on for something.
Oh, man. It'd be something. Persona 5 is Persona 5. It's going to come out. We're going to play it.
I'm so excited. I'm so goddamn excited. But I don't think it's this year. I think they're being too cagey. They're still not putting a release date on it. It's supposed to be 2015 in like worldwide. It's not happening. Not going to make it this year.
Fiscal 2015.
What is this Tales of Zestria?
Oh, it's just they
announced Tales of Berseria.
The Zestria is the one I think they announced earlier. I forget. Okay. There's now two Tales games and two
main. Berseria is the one coming to the West
with the female protagonist.
Yes, that's Berseria. Yeah,
this is the other one that was announced before that.
Berseria, it looks fucking like really interesting. I have not been interested in a Tales game in a long time. That one looks really interesting. Zestria, I don't know anything about. That's going to be the Japanese only release. We'll see it like 3 years.
Yeah, maybe.
Like every other Tales game. XCOM 2 is XCOM 2. I didn't play enough of the first one to care.
You missed out. You're missing out.
You missed out. Yeah. Yep.
Oculus. I need to see it again because I'm not sold after my experience with it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Transformers. Oh yeah, that's that Platinum Transformers game. Yeah, that looks fucking hot.
It was hot. Shit hot, right?
Like I've never been like a huge Transformers fan, but to see that it's based on the like old like cartoon Transformers and not the bullshit Michael Bay ones.
It looks pretty close. It's not like South Park good, but it's pretty close to South Park good.
Yeah, no, I'm on board, especially like with the weird of Platinum games.
Yeah. It's good. This is their palate cleanser after making fucking Star Fox.
Yeah, no kidding. This is why Star Fox is going to be shit.
They made this instead for good reason.
Wait.
Rising Storm 2?
What?
I didn't write that.
I'm trying to remember what that is.
Oh, that's Noobs game. That's the PC gaming show Noobs thing. That's it. That was E3. That was the thing. We're not going to talk about
the game. No, I wanted to real quickly say Soma looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
As a fan of Frictional Games, Soma looks really good. I don't know how well it's going to play. I'm worried about the talking protagonist.
Did you watch? Yeah, exactly. Did you watch the 7-minute demo?
I watched part of it.
Yeah. Like the talking protagonist just really kind of ruins it. Because he seems like a Nathan Drake-esque character. And it's like, it doesn't fit. Like, it's not scary with him there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those guys know how to do scary. Nature finds a way, and if not, then they'll turn nature into a robot.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if this was at E3 or no.
While you're looking that up, Mitch, is there anything else, like, the not major publisher stuff that, like, interested you from E3?
Not overly. I think everything that caught my eye has been kind of talked about already, so.
And I guess you just need to keep playing that Dark Souls until you're on board with it.
Yeah, right. I guess so. Until
you
I
finished
can get
it yet?
No, I have not. No, I have not.
But you've beaten Smog and Austin, right? So that's the hard part.
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten past what we talked about last time.
Oh.
I know what they look like now, but other than that.
So you haven't seen the real Dark Souls yet?
No, I apparently have not.
No. Like that.
That's okay. I've owned Bloodborne since release. I've not even seen the first boss yet.
Oh, he's really good. Father Gascoigne is actually amazing.
But that's the like secondary first boss though.
He's the actual first boss. The other one's optional.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. There are only four bosses you have to face in Bloodborne that are required.
Yeah.
Wait, who's the other boss then?
So the
Cathedral Beast.
The Cleric Beast.
I thought the Cleric Beast was the first one.
He's the first one most people meet, but you don't have to actually fight him.
Oh, okay. So the game I was thinking about, I don't think it was actually shown at E3, but I discovered it recently, so I thought it was. It looks really fucking interesting. It's a game actually being made by former Irrational Guys called Perception.
Oh,
it's a horror game. It's a horror game where you play as a blind woman.
Huh.
And you use basically echolocation to get a sense of your surroundings. She has like a loud cane that she'll smack on the ground, and you get a sense of like the area around you or whatever.
Oh, weird. But
visually, it looks really, really interesting. I'll link a...
does it look like the original Ben Affleck Daredevil movie in terms of echolocation?
Literally what I was going to ask.
Oh, God.
Like I don't know, but it does show a little GIF here on the screen here to show kind of what it looks like. There's a YouTube video, if you go look it up, shows a little bit of gameplay. This game looks terrifying as shit. So think of this. Okay, you're a blind character. You can only see by sound, basically. You'll hear like thunder in the background, and the thunder will actually light up the area for you because you're hearing it bouncing off of things, and you're able to see based on that. But also, you know, you have your cane, so you see by sound. But there are obviously enemies. There are things you have to get away from. You don't have a gun. You know, it's one of the ones like kind of hide from the enemies or whatever. Right. You need to be able to see your surroundings to get around, but obviously they can hear.
Right. So you're making sounds, and then you're making sounds
to try to be able to see.
Right. And
they can hear your sounds.
That's cool.
Yeah, this game looks terrifying.
That looks cool. That sounds real cool. Damn.
So yeah, if anybody's interested, they did a Kickstarter. It got funded. Yeah. And actually, one of the things that some people complained about was the main character was a bit too chatty. That's what made me think of this. The character was too chatty. They felt like it kind of detracted from the game. In some cases, like she was maybe a little bit too flippant with what was going on around her.
Oh, weird.
So they're actually adding what they called a silent night mode, where the main character will only talk when it's plot critical.
Oh, wow.
And otherwise, she will be quiet.
That sounds good.
So, like, they're actually, yeah, like, it. Go check out the video for this game. It's probably the most terrifying thing I've seen since, like, the first Amnesia. Even more so than Amnesia, just because of, like, how it limits your awareness of your surroundings.
This could actually be an incredibly interesting, not saying good, but interesting VR game. Because
Jesus.
Yeah, because actually having that screen is black most of the time and only seeing black because you're in VR and then tapping and then seeing that like light up the world around you, that could be really interesting. Interesting for VR. Yeah. Alright. So that's E3.
I think we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, holy shit. I didn't expect to talk that long about E3 this episode, but that
happened. I kind of did.
Yeah, okay. It's so he's resigned himself. See, people complain that I'm on the show. I didn't do that. That wasn't me. That wasn't me this time, even though I kind of pissed off.